To the Batmobile.
Let's go. Atomic batteries to power. Turbines to speed.
Roger. Ready to move out.
Holy smokes, Batman. It's Gaggle of Geeks with...
Blake Howard?
And Sophie Lye.
Good morning, Blake Howard of Graffiti with Punctuation.
Good morning, Soph. Good morning, geeks. What's happening?
Oh, you know, winter is here.
Winter is here, as you can tell by the dire wolves barking in the background, perhaps.
I know, right? And which is great, which means more time for me with my Netflix. I don't have an excuse.
There's no excuses anymore.
Just to stay under my bed covers and just consume more Netflix, Stan, Amazon, everything I can get my hands on,
everything.
Really.
Everything.
Everything.
What's hanging over? What have you been like? What's teetering? What's in your, like, Sophie has started watching this list and has just not gone any further?
Now that, like, I'm a bit more calmer, I can try get back into Altered Carbon.
Oh, right.
Because that's such a thinking show that every time I've come home from work, I'm like, I just don't have the capacity to deal with this.
No.
So I'm hoping to do Altered Carbon, and Killing Eve just came out on ABC, so I'm really keen for that.
Ooh, I'm keen to hit Fleabag as well as Killing Eve because of the amazing, I'm going to forget her name. What is her name?
Phoebe Waller-Bridge.
Yeah, Phoebe Waller-Bridge, who was unfortunately cast as a robot in the Solo movie.
Amazing robot, the best part of the movie. Yeah, so that's coming. And then Mystery Road's coming out tomorrow.
Mm.
Fool's Binge on ABC iView.
Mm. Is the whole series dropping on ABC iView at the same time?
10:30 tomorrow night, right. Ooh. After the two-hour premiere. So, I'll be very busy this weekend.
All of Mystery Road. I've seen it.
Do you love it?
Yeah, look, I mean, it's not out yet, so we'll do a full debrief, but there's a review coming to the lovely folks at Junkie from my good self, so...
We'll keep an eye out for
keep
that
an
one.
Eye out for that one, but yeah, we'll save that for a full next week breakdown, but it is... Something special.
Little something special. But that's not what we're here to talk about today, Blake.
No. We've got a couple of big pieces of news. The first one, look, it wouldn't be an episode of Gaggle of Geeks if we didn't feature this man.
I'm sorry, I'm not J.J. Abrams. They say, Taika, we wish we called you J.J. Abrams.
That's right. This is Taika Waititi, the absolute legend behind Thor Ragnarok, Hunt for the Wilder People, What We Do in the Shadows. He's currently making his new movie, which Soph and I are quite obsessed with the prospect of. It's called Jojo Rabbit, and it's about a kid who has Hitler, who's his imaginary friend in World War II.
Only Hitler is played by a Polynesian Jew, Taika Waititi himself.
And so a few hours ago, Taika celebrated his week one finishing of Jojo Rabbit with a photo of him flipping the bird to the real Adolf Hitler that says, "Week one down, our anti-fuckface satire, Jojo Rabbit. Can't wait to share it with the world. Also, what better way to insult Hitler than having him portrayed by a Polynesian Jew?" So awesome. Bless Taika Waititi.
Mm, and last week it was announced that Rebel Wilson was joining the cast as well.
Rebel Wilson, Scarlett Johansson so far announced. It's going to be a fun cast. I think it sounds fun.
Yeah.
It's him, so we're going to see it.
But like, you know, Rebel's playing a Fräulein.
I already love that so much.
I'm like, I can't even imagine her with a German accent, like a bad German accent.
Oh, no, I can imagine her with a terrible German accent, and that's exactly what we're going to get.
Of course, but with so much Australianism coming through.
Yeah, love that.
Can't do any other accent.
She could do American. I've seen her do American a couple of times. There was that one where it's like, there was like that dating one that she did with the chick from Fifty Shades of Grey.
Yeah. See, I thought she was still Australian.
She might have been. Might have forgotten. Every movie with Dakota Johnson that isn't directed by the... oh my God, what is his name now? I've forgotten. Luca Guadagnino, I don't care about. If it's a 50 Shades of Grey movie, I don't want to know about it.
Yeah, they weren't great, were they?
No, pretty bad. So yeah, no, really excited for that one. But we did have some other fresh news that came out this week. So as geeks, we're following along pretty pretty openly, but also very cautiously when we hear about Crow reboots. There's been so many in about the last 15 years.
This is the thing. When you were like, the latest one has gone down, I'm like, there was a new one that was coming out because every single one has just fallen like
so
in production stage.
What we see sometimes is that, you know, directors or writers or people walk away from creative differences from a project. But Corinne Hardy, who's the sort of driving writer, director force behind the latest Crow reboot, very much enamored with the original Alex Proyas Crow movie with Brandon Lee and the comic books. He dragged in Jason Momoa, and it looked like we were really close to a Crow reboot that, you know, sort of was very much in the land of a comic book adaptation as well as sort of a love letter to the original film. But this week on Twitter, like only in the last couple of days, he wrote this message which says, I knew from the off that the idea of making a new version of The Crow was never going to be for everyone because it is a beloved film. And I say that as someone in love with it myself, but I poured everything into it in the last 3.5 years of work to try and create something which honored that Crow, what The Crow stood for. From James O'Barr's affecting graphic novel to Alex Proyas' original movie, with great respect to Brandon Lee and the desire to make something bold and new that myself as an obsessive fan could be proud of. And with Jason Momoa and my amazing team of artists and filmmakers, we came so close. But sometimes when you love something so much, you have to make hard decisions. And yesterday, deciding it was time to let go of this dark, emotional dream project was the hardest decision of all. Buildings burn, people die, but real love is forever. The great line that ends Alex Proyas' Crow movie. So it's kind of devastating because this is someone who is really passionate about it, clearly has done a lot of stuff to pour themselves into it and made the decision. And it's so rare. This shows how much Momoa was in for Corinne Hardy's vision that it's like, I'm out. So really, 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 now this project now looks like it's completely dead in the water.
Yeah. I mean, it's like it's cursed, really.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, look, yeah, you hate to say that, but some things are.
But it, like, you know, after the tragic death of Brandon Lee on that, and then every time someone tries to touch it again, it's just... they can't get it back
up. It's not easy. It's not easy.
Nor is that legacy either.
No, you don't want any part of it.
No.
And look, from dark news that is actually sort of sad to dark news, which is like, what? X-Men Dark Phoenix.
No, I'm waiting for you to do a dad pun here right now, Blake.
Dark Phoenix, the X-Men movie, which once was called X-Men Dark Phoenix, has been reported that it's darker than your standard X-Men film. Does what it says on the tin then, guys? Like, seriously.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah.
Wow. That's
so dumb. It's like the dumbest piece of, it's darker. Yeah. You called it Dark Phoenix, you spaz. What's wrong with you?
Yeah, this is coming from Evan Peters, who plays Quicksilver in the movies. And he's like, yeah, it's going to be much darker than Apocalypse. It's like, well, it's not hard. That was pretty.
Yeah, look, I mean, this is the other thing. X-Men is a franchise that in the X-Men and the mutants in the Fox franchise, for better or for worse, have the worst case of freaking amnesia that you could ever hope for.
Oh, my gosh.
Because Logan is a very dark and bleak futuristic picture.
And it was beautiful.
Beautiful. You can't tell me that the power of Bryan Singer's original vision when we discovered Magneto as a young Jewish boy in a concentration camp whose powers are awakened as his parents are torn away from him to be murdered is not powerful. Mm-hmm. It was the seminal moment of the series, which is what they eventually tapped into in the X-Men First Class and things like that. So it just seems crazy that they're forgetting that the entire series is based off of these really dark emotions that are massive allegories for racism and, you know, a bias against, you know, sexuality and things like that, and just people being disenfranchised and downtrodden. And so, like, yeah, like, what does that even mean? It's so silly. Like, dark, that's not inspiring anyone to go and see it. The most successful movies have been ones with Wolverine in them, and also the ones that are kind of sunnier and have a little bit of comic levity in them.
Yeah, and they did that a lot with when they kind of introduced Quicksilver back into the fold and him interacting with Wolverine.
He was the funnest, one of the funnest parts in Days of Future Past. He was the big highlight, huge highlight. So I don't know. These, I just think when people.
But this is the thing, like Dark Phoenix, maybe it's like it made The Last Stand so bad when they went with that storyline.
Yeah.
And now this one, it's like, you know, they pushed it back, release for reshoots. Some guy on Reddit claims he was at a test screening and says, yeah, it's going towards the route of A Last Stand. So I don't have high hopes for it.
Yeah, I don't have high hopes for it after Apocalypse. Apocalypse was garbage. There's not a salvaging moment in that movie. I really don't like
any of
it. And
they had Oscar Isaac.
That Oscar Isaac, and they ruined Oscar Isaac. And he couldn't even be ruined by Ridley Scott's terrible Robin Hood movie. so, you know, they've got this great cast, and McAvoy and Lawrence and Fassbender are just dynamic. But, you know, I don't know. I don't really don't have any idea what's going on with these people.
They're just in schmozzles.
Yeah, who knows? But speaking of who knows, the Sydney Film Festival is out. You guys are going to be listening to this on Saturday in Sydney and on Wednesday, the opening night. What we do know about the Sydney Film Festival is that it's opening with The Breaker Upperas, which is a Taika Waititi, another in our weekly Waititi piece of news.
Yeah.
Taika produced film, an awesome comedy about two friends who decide to make a business of how to helping people break up with their partners who are too cowardly or inept to do it themselves. So,
just say that premise is so beautiful. It is. In so many ways.
It's great. And so. That is absolutely going to knock it out of the park and sort of kick the festival off with a little laughs. But what's absolutely fantastic this year, I think, is that Sydney Film Festival is a grab bag. You are going to go there and see a bunch of fascinating films that you know nothing about, which is such a this is like my favorite thing about the fest. It's such a refreshment to go in and go, I have no idea what this is. I barely even know if it's in the English language or not. I don't even know what country it's from. And just sitting there and being awash with like an amazing movie. So get along. There are some great ones. There are some big well-known ones that have that are intermingled in that or sprinkled in. So you can pepper it with some of those things that you're familiar with. But largely, it is a really exciting, it's an exciting fest because there's so much newness and there's so much unfamiliar. And there's so much audacious filmmaking in there. Lots of, you know, 6 out of the 12 films in the official selection are directed by women. So representation is huge on the agenda this year, which is awesome. And I just can't wait. So I'm dying to see The Breaker Upperas.
Oh.
Absolutely thrilled. And then, you know, there's some other really awesome ones that just dropped from Cannes Film Festival. Burning, which won the Palme d'Or. Terry Gilliam's The Man Who Killed Don Quixote. See it while it's able to be released. Oh, my God. No one can even believe it's actually made. Now the studio is trying to cancel it.
What?
It's crazy news. We won't even go into that. Black Klansman, Spike Lee's amazing satire. There's a lot to check out, and Burning I'm the most excited about after Breaker Upperas. A really big week at the fest. Yeah. And on Saturday night at Town Hall at 7 p.m.
Our very own Blake Howard.
Our very own me.
He'll be doing a live podcast of One Heat Minute.
That's right. Guys, if you can, come along. One Heat Minute is the show. The movie is Heat, 170 minutes where we examine the film 1 minute at a time. And as a bonus for the folks that are going to see it live, we have special guests. We also have Luke Buckmaster from Guardian, Garth Franklin from Dark Horizon, Stu Coot from Cinephiles are going to be my main trio of guests, but we do have a special guest hidden in the wings. And for the fest, we're going to be doing the first minute of the diner conversation in Heat.
What a scene.
What a scene. We're doing that minute for you. So come along. Might be a giveaway or two, some surprises in there. Come along for some fun.
Oh, so much happening. And of course, we are a partner. So we'll be dropping reviews left, right and center, not only on this show, but across the entire station.
Yeah, Film Club is all over it. These guys are going to be ripping through it onto SER. So check it out. There's going to be reviews aplenty. And we'll review the big ones.
Excellent. Blake, thank you for another gaggle of geeks. We'll catch you chatting more on the podcast.
Yes, we will. For much longer. See you guys. Thanks, Sophie.
Bye.